Kate joins us from LA to talk City's continued dominance in the Premier League, life after Pep, whether City will finally win a Champions League, and her picks for the top four. We're down here in the Rattail Bunker and Barbershop Studio, and this is the Boys and Bolos Podcast. Welcome back to the Boys and Bolos Podcast. We're down here in the Barbershop Studio, Jarrett. Thanks for joining me again in person. This is 2 weeks in a row. I feel so blessed. Hashtag blessed to be down here with you.
Hashtag blessed.
Yeah.
Is that the name of the title? Hashtag blessed.
Ja bless.
Ja bless. With your boy.
With your boy.
Lingardino. Today on the pod, we have a guest all the way from the best coast, aka the other coast. Kate, how are you doing? Welcome to the pod.
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're out here.
It's getting late.
All of our teams won this week. That's good.
Wow, what a time to be alive.
Well, sometimes we have guests on and either their team lost or Spurs lost or Chelsea somehow lost. It's just depressing. It's more of a therapy than a celebration.
If your team loses, your team doesn't lose often anymore. Chelsea doesn't lose.
No.
But which is good.
They lost once to us.
Wow. Ooh. And she's just on the ball. Just a reminder.
But,
just in case anyone forgot.
But what I was going to say is that when Spurs lose, I black out everything else because I'm just so depressed.
Well, you also black out because you come down here and start pounding these bougie beers you drink.
Yeah, I brought a seltzer today. I'm keeping it sober.
Spurs is actually better for your physical and mental
totally
health.
Totally is. Conte's
when they're winning.
Has really, he's. I'm living by his credo now. No sauces.
Yeah. How do you feel about having Chelsea's sloppy seconds?
I'm okay with it because he went to.
Are we calling Conte
it's not like
sloppy?
He went from Chelsea straight to Spurs.
First of all, Conte's not sloppy. That is a man who lost all his hair while playing and somehow grew it all the way back when he was a manager. He's a hero.
He's
using keeps.
He's using keeps.
Keeps. That's a perfect segue to keeps because I'm angling for that keeps sponsorship.
Jeff wants a keeps sponsorship
because I am losing my hair.
Keeps flowing.
Yep.
Good luck.
Yep. It's not coming back.
It's not. It's gone. It's all the stress. Anyways, Kate, tell us your backstory. When did you fall in love with City? Was there like a moment,
oh my gosh,
a game or something?
It was definitely the 2010 World Cup, which sounds a little weird, but was kind of just watching. I always loved soccer, played it growing up. So I was watching just all the games and was really kind of following Carlos Tevez and Jesus Navas. And coincidentally, they were on the same team. And I was like, oh, looks like it'll be easy for me to follow this one. And it was City. And kind of just started 2010. And once NBC got those rights, just started watching the Premier League every week. And it's been a, progression to straight obsession. So that's where I'm at now, living, breathing City every day.
That's really cool.
I love that because you know that was
really
11
like
years
backstory.
Ago.
Yeah.
That was a long time. I mean it's not that long ago.
Jeff,
but
your math is, let me tell you.
Let me tell you. It wasn't like this isn't like a bandwagon fan either.
No.
No.
She's deep in the lore.
She's deep cut. That's nice. That's
oh yeah. That's definitely. I mean, for being an American, I would say 2010s was a decent time to get into things. So I feel really happy that I picked City and that they're the best team.
It was a good pick. And Jesus Navas in that tournament, unless I'm really wrong, which I have been known to be very wrong in this pod, he was instrumental in that final goal. He had like a 30 to 40 yard run with the ball against Holland before he passed it off, I think, to Fabregas or Iniesta. So he was like very instrumental in the build-up.
That's what I'm talking about. He just pulls these facts out of his
There's a really good documentary. It's all in Spanish. Obviously, there's subtitles in English. But he talks about, and I always remember Xavi like retelling. Well, they have all the Spanish players, and I'll have to get the name of the documentary so we can put it in like the whatever. But all the Spanish players basically tell the story of how they saw that goal. And Xavi is the one who's talking about Jesus Navas because normally in soccer, you don't dribble 30 yards, especially not in your own box. He basically dribbled out, and then before the ball was passed out. Anyways, Jesus Navas is a big deal. Hero in Spain for having done that. Legend in where did he play? Sevilla? Yeah, he's a Sevilla legend. Just won the FA Cup a couple years ago with them. I think that's like also the fourth one he's won with them. I don't know. It's ridiculous. Jesus Navas is a legend. So back in that time too, Man City, they had Steven Ireland, right? Is this like,
oh God, don't quiz me. You can't quiz me on
Steven, but I'm saying they had Steven Ireland, Robinho. Yaya Toure they got after the Barcelona one in 2009. I'm pretty sure he went right after that to Man City. So this is like very old lore City. This is it pre-takeover City? Please, When was that takeover?
Takeover was 08.
But it was like right when they were ascending.
But it was like building. Yeah. Like putting the plans in place. But yeah, I always used to, because people would be like, you just like City because, you know, the players, they're so good looking. And I'm like, no, my favorite player is Carlos Tevez. Like, you can't tell me that, like, I'm in it for the looks. That man looks like an angler fish.
That's actually a new one.
It's like an angler fish, bro.
You like City they're like a good team. Like, they're the best team in the league. No, you like City because they're good looks. Like,
oh, no, they're literally the hottest team in the league. Chelsea will always come in second. It's just how the chips fall.
Time out. Wait.
This is like a new.
This is a whole. We are getting into the aesthetics of the players. Now tell me, Chelsea will always come in second. How does that play out?
Yes. Oh my God, I could just start listing them off. Alonso, Giroud. Like, there were times it was hot.
Eden Hazard. What about Diego Costa? Did he light your fire?
Oh my God.
He's a wild man.
Don't even get me started on Diego Costa.
Wait, is that in a good way or a bad way?
Oh yeah, great way.
You know, he has an identical twin. Identical twin, and I've like seen videos where people are like going up to him. They're like, Diego, sign my shirt. And he's like, that's my brother. They look.
That'd be the best.
Yeah, because
as an identical twin.
Well, they have the exact same bodies, which is the problem. And his brother drinks all day, but they still have the same body because that Diego Costa is just straight a baller vibes.
Oh my God, I love it.
Diego Costa is one of the weirder dudes I think in world football.
That's a new angle. That's a whole new dimension of this podcast.
Oh yeah, didn't think you were gonna take it right there.
No, that's fine. I'm into it.
Is there also something to be said that like a player is more physically attractive when their team or the player is good? Because I feel like, does it matter?
Kevin De Bruyne, easily.
He's more attractive because he's good.
Absolutely.
If he were on Norwich and was a center back and sucked, he wouldn't be that good looking.
No.
About this.
These are really deep thoughts. I don't know.
We've never crossed these
these are waters.
I'm feeling out of my own comfort zone in my own comfortable place.
Right?
I'm very uncomfortable.
Sweating.
Let's get back to the actual football.
Let's get back to the points, the techniques and the tactics.
Got it.
So this is one of my questions for you as a City fan, because as Jeff was saying pre-recording, it's sometimes hard for us when there's a really good team or a really bad team to necessarily have great conversation, because there's not a lot of drama. It's like, they're always going to lose. They're always going to win. City right now is looking freakish. When Pep leaves, because he can't stay forever, all good things must come to an end. Where would you, if Pep had to leave tomorrow, he's like, I got to leave. I'm out. I can't do it. I've tried to win the Champions League with the best team in Europe on every country I've been in the last 11 years and can't do it. I don't have Lionel Messi. I can't do it. That was a dig at Pep. Who would you appoint tomorrow if you had? And you could choose anybody. Let's live in a fantasy world. Where would you want to go? And why? This is a tough one. Now you're in the hot seat.
That's really tough. And I think that our players have just been programmed to run without Pep. So I think we could probably go 2 years without a manager.
I love that. That's a great take. I'm dead.
I feel like City players are like the Matrix. You know, when she was like, I need to learn how to drive a helicopter. And they're like, hold on. Trinity's like, sweet. And she's just like, it's like that. They're like, Gundogan.
I don't know.
Attacking midfield. Like, download.
I'm going to say, this is rooted in truth, though, because I think that if you see when we bring up some of our academy players or some of our under, 23s and they enter the system, it's like, they already know what's going on. So I just know that that's trickled down through like the whole essence of our academy and everything. So I just think that that's the style of play we're gonna have after Pep still. But if I had to pick a manager, oh gosh, I almost said Bob Bradley as a joke.
That's hilarious.
Well, he's out of a job and he's on monster.com and LinkedIn Premium.
But
looking.
Honestly, I would love for Arteta to come back to City.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Arteta to come back to City.
Yeah. I would love it, because then he would kind of shed the like, I'm former Arsenal, I had Arsenal, and then it's like, all right, now I have a team. Let's go. Let's take this.
I think
I'd want him to come back.
Arteta only played, you mean as a coach?
Yes.
How many seasons? Okay. I don't know how many seasons he would have. I don't think he played any seasons as a City player, did he?
No.
Yeah, right. None.
No,
like,
but he was. No. He was an assistant.
An assistant. Yeah. Right. I know he was an assistant.
Oh, yeah. Just our assistant.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So that's cool.
But he was like, Arteta, I mean, that was the crazy 18-19 season. And then he left. But I feel like he kind of balanced out Pep when we really needed someone to like hone in, keep focus. Because that was such a wild end of season.
That's the season where Company hits the worldie and you guys win by a point.
Yeah, you guys, I was supposed to be at that game.
What happened?
They changed the game from Saturday to Monday, and I just couldn't change my flight. So I ended up going to the Women FA Cup final that City was playing at Wembley.
And that's our worry about going to games this spring, is that they can just change games.
Yeah.
Just change it.
It was awful. And so full kit on the flight.
Shin guards.
11 and a half hours. There's no live TV. There's not even internet. And like we land, the flight attendants come like running over and they're like, you guys won. And we're like, holy shit. So we like pull up our phone. We're like on the tarmac. We're getting it up. We're like, oh my God, it's 1-0. We play the, holy shit. Like literally there's like two boys standing behind us that were at Arsenal over the weekend. And they were like, play it again. And I was like, I was supposed to be at that game. Oh my God. And then just was like, it wouldn't have happened if I was there. It wouldn't have happened. And just kind of had to like center myself for that.
The company goal.
Yeah. I was like, it would not have happened if I was there. I had to be flying.
I watched that live and I was just in shock. I was like,
yeah.
As soon as that went in, I was like, they won the title. Because this was the second to last week. But when that
yep,
went in, I said,
it didn't matter.
It didn't. They won the title. They'll win the last week. They pulled this out. I don't know.
I knew if we won that game, like, we were going to just crush Brighton the following week. So I called up my best friend and I was like, you're flying to Los Angeles. You're lifting the trophy with us. Let's go. So we flew to New York over the weekend. Yeah. That was honestly, that's my favorite season. Best City season ever.
A lot of things have been said here.
That was the season that Tottenham got second, right?
No,
that was 18 seasons. That was 17-18.
That was 15-16 because you were behind Leicester.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
15.
Yeah, you were behind Leicester.
We beat you with Hazard.
You guys got 10th that season.
Yeah.
Chelsea got 10th.
Yeah, we got 10th.
That was the season where I was like, okay, we can have a hangover season. And then we just kept winning. So I was like, okay, no hangover.
So speaking of winning and just winning, due to the fact that City is so dominant in the league, I feel like the league is now not as desirable or not as attractive, and the Champions League must be the one that got away or the one that keeps getting away. Is this a failure of a season if you don't win the Champions League?
Me personally, I've always been a Premier League first, Champions League second type of fan, because I think that the challenge of a 38 game season is better than, you know, kind of winning in the knockouts. Anyone can get lucky on any day. In football, we saw that in May. So, yeah.
Somebody got lucky. Havertz just happened to find a goal.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, look, a 1-0 win against us on a break. Can call Vegas. Those are easy odds.
Someone's a little sour.
This year, of course, I want it. Like, but I would want to win the Premier League first. So, I think it would be fantastic. It is definitely the one that got away. I'm grateful. I don't remember much of that day anyways. So
today reminded me that with that goal that he scored, that if you had Rodri start, you guys probably would have won that game. Not going with strict four back and then vibes was not Pep's best moment, and he knows it. And Rodri's scoring that worldie today. I was like, God, if they had that guy to hold the midfield, it would have been a different game.
Yeah.
Probably PKs.
I know. And
honest.
I had like bad feelings about that day. Like even just waking up, just sort of bad vibes. I don't know why. Kind of the same way I had a bad vibes election day four years ago. And I was like, we're losing. It's going down. So I kind of just went into it being like, whatever happens. But yeah, the lineup was not reassuring at all.
Yeah. It was a little disrespectful to Chelsea to not basically have a holding midfielder. Jeff, do you have any questions about Kate's backstory? Love for City?
I'm still processing a lot.
There's a lot has been said.
I'm still processing.
The Arteta call was not what I expected. Because here's the thing with Arteta. It's like, Is Arteta a good coach? I actually still don't know, because I've always just kind of been like, is he getting the most he can get out of Arsenal? Is he not?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because whenever you give anyone, like you said, the programming of the players, I do believe they could probably play for an entire season without a coach, and they'd probably finish in the top three. Because at the end of the day, the higher the most money you have on the field is the higher you finish up the table. After a 38 game, like, that's enough numbers and us to like see what's going to happen. So I'm like, if Arteta goes to City, I think it would actually be really great. I think that's actually a great call. And that's something that Pep would probably tip and be like, yeah, I want him to succeed me. I'm leaving, because Pep's not going to get fired. He's going to decide to leave. I would like him to replace me. And I think that that would actually be pretty great. What would, because today we're thinking about, we're like, oh, we have a City fan on, but really all the news has been about United. So do you have any thoughts about United's next coach?
Oh my goodness. I think as much as Ole, I don't ever know if he really got control of his game plan, because they've just always sat back and, you know, tried to catch one on the break. And then they brought Ronaldo in, which, you know, is good for couple goals here and there when you really need it. So I honestly, when I look at that group of players, I'm just like, they don't feel like a team. They just feel like a bunch of players bought trying to figure something out. So it'll be interesting to see who's brought in and can kind of like maybe motivate them on the field, but also like get the back room, the locker room back in place. I keep wondering when Harry Maguire is going to like lose his armband, because he's not the best, at least in the last couple of weeks, hasn't been like the pillar of captainship. So I think they've got two problems. One is a coach that's got a game plan that they can stick to, and then, you know, players that all want to play together versus individual talent. So I think they've got a lot of challenges on their end. But I'm interested to see what happens in the weekend, because sometimes these big changes, you know, pulls out big games.
Yeah, this past week, we had a bunch of new coaches in the Premier League. Steven Gerrard at Aston Villa, he won. Remind me the other wins. Norwich won. Norwich had their first win, which has knocked Newcastle all the way to the bottom.
Their second win.
Yeah.
Is it their second win?
Yeah, Farks won their first
game. Oh,
Farks. Sorry, they're two in a row. They're on a streak.
They're on a hot streak.
The hottest of streaks. Who was the other coach that won? They had their first game.
Dean Smith.
Dean Smith won. Did he win? No, Dean Smith was fired.
Dean Smith went to Norwich, so yes, he won.
Oh, he won. That's
awesome. And then Steven Gerrard.
Yeah, because he was on Aston Villa, then played them.
And
Stevie G won.
Eddie Howe has he started yet at Newcastle?
I don't think he started, because he lost.
Yeah.
Or he would have lost.
Conte was his first win. I mean, it wasn't his first game.
But his first win, yeah.
Was that game three for him or two?
Two. The first game was Everton, so they tied.
Tied that. Is that two clean sheets for you guys?
It's not a clean sheet, but two.
Not a clean sheet
two
today.
Two non-losses.
Oh, my God. That's right. You guys want to go behind. Sorry. Yeah. Too many goals. Too many goals.
But my opinion about Manchester United is I thought the Ronaldo signing was good for selling jerseys and, of course, maybe getting them over the hump of, like, some Champions League games, because he's a big game player. But I think they've, like, forsaken some of their development in their younger players. I think have Ronaldo on the team. So, like, Greenwood and Martial and even Van de Beek. It bumped a bunch of guys down.
It bumps me out. Yeah, and it bumps me out to see, like, Lingard, who had such a great season with West Ham last year, literally just get, like, yanked back, I feel like, in a petty move just to, like, resit on the bench. Yep. And then you see, like, Daniel James go out. Well, I guess he scored today. But it's like, then we see him go out. I call it like the second act United, where it's like Alexis Sanchez goes out, starts playing great. Like all these players that like were brought in kind of big name, and then they don't play well for United, but then they go off and have better eras in their career. So.
Yeah, I thought Ole, I agree. Ole was out of his depth. He didn't really have a game plan. He was just like, it was just literally all vibes. It was just like Ronaldo vibes. And then it was like last season, it was Fernandez vibes, scoring penalties. Like they don't have any penalty goals and they're not winning games.
Yeah. Well, ever since VAR changed the rule, Fernandez, you know, they don't, that's it.
That's it, really. I mean, and we talked about that in the pod last season, and it's a real thing.
It's a real thing. Very real thing.
Very real.
Do you want to look ahead at the week coming up? Or not.
We're not going to talk about Spurs, huh? I'm just kidding.
What are we going to talk about Spurs? We all watched the Spurs game. It was the premier game today.
It was. Yeah. City did trounce. Who did you guys play?
Everton.
We had Everton. Yeah.
We kicked the crap. Honestly. Like,
I mean, like, I it was halftime and City had like 80% possession. I was like, yeah, this is something. This is something else.
Who's City's best player right now, in your opinion?
Joao Cancelo.
That's exactly what I was going to say. He has been on fire, and I've had him on fantasy since the beginning because I think is this his second season with City?
Third.
His third. Last season. Yeah.
Because he came as a right back, didn't really play because Walker. Then we had our left back issues, so we started just chucking him in there. Him and Zinchenko kind of switched off when Mendy wasn't playing, but now he's just kind of taken over that role.
Because last season, everyone was like, Diaz, obviously he won the best player of the league. But I'm like, the only reason why Diaz is so good is because Cancelo is so good. He's like, actually, he reminds me very much of Dani Alves when he came over from Sevilla to Barcelona. Because he's very aggressive, but at the same time, he's not a defensive liability. Whereas some outside backs can kind of be liabilities at times, where it's like, yeah, they're really good going forward, so we keep them on the field. But going the other way, it's like, maybe not. And I had reached out on Instagram to our community and said, hey, if you have a question, let us know. And Mitch sent me, per usual, a really good question, also a Bible of reading. So I'm going to try to
condense.
He said, why basically are there so many good right backs in the Prem right now? You know, why is the fullback position evolving so much and becoming so pivotal to these top teams? Trent, Cancelo, James, Chilwell, Luke Shaw, who got injured, Robertson, Ayling, etc. So many teams are relying on fullbacks to anchor their attacking play and not just for overlapping runs. Is this something that will only continue, or is this a fad? What do you think, Kate?
I think it's something that's going to continue, and my gut is maybe saying it's coming from more teams playing out from the back. So the left back, right backs, they're just getting a little bit more action to play the ball up more and really be those playmakers. So I think it's just going to be something that continues, which I like because it makes it much more exciting.
I think the evolution of the wing back position has really like prompted a lot of like good outside backs. A lot of like Reece James, for instance, is a wing back essentially, you know, and especially because, you know, Chelsea are always playing a 3-5-2. And, you know, even with Spurs now, they have Royal and Reguilon switching, learning the position of wing back. I think Royal is more of a classic wing back, but Reguilon's not. And I think it's taking him a little bit of time to learn that position. But that's, like, I think the style of play that's helping these top teams win games, especially Chelsea and City. Both, you know, kind of have more of a wing back players. I know Chelsea does. Mm-hmm. I mean, City plays more of a 4-back, but...
City and United play four back.
City and United play four back, but they always have one outside back playing as a wing back, and then somebody drops in. Yeah. So it's like that's what's happening in the Premier League, and it's just gonna keep going. It's just not.
Yeah, I think I saw that Chelsea's defenders have 12 goals this year amongst them, which is pretty crazy.
It's like 46% of our goals, I think. 44, 46. Yeah. It's a large amount.
And then I was looking it up just before we jumped on, and Joao actually has the most shots on our team. So I don't even know what that means. We don't have a striker there.
Yeah, you don't have a pure nine other than Mr. Jesus himself. I just thought that was a good question, and I do think they're only going to continue because you can basically take players who should be in other parts of the field, but you want them on the field, and just throw them back there. And especially if they're in a 3-5-2, they're less likely to be a defensive liability because you're always going to have the three in the middle. You can't really, like, in the outside, like, this is why I just think Wan-Bissaka is a complete liability because he can get beat easily. And I think Reguilon, when he's in the back and he's in the four, he's just not that good at defense, but he's so good going forward, you kind of got to keep him on. So, I don't know. That was a good question from Mitch.
That's why when... Alonso was playing over Chilwell in the beginning of the season, I was like, I knew it was like some load management issues with Chelsea, and that's why I maybe wasn't playing because the Euros and all that stuff. But like, But he didn't really play in Euro. So like, it was weird that he wasn't playing. And I was like, why is Alonso getting a run of form? He had a few good games, but I just think Chilwell's a much better like attacking option. And then he's proven himself. He scored a couple goals already and provides much more width on that on the left-hand side for Chelsea and creates more, you know. And that's a pretty good example of why the wingback position is so dominant. I mean, got guys like that, you know.
Here's a really weird thing that I was just thinking, because Kate, you said the whole how they like basically screwed Lingardinho over at United. And we feel the same way. I mean, the guy was flying high at West Ham. He was doing well. They should have sold him to West Ham, just put like $40 million on him, $50 million, because now his value this summer is expected to be about $10 million. So they've taken this really awesome thing and they've thrown it in the corner and it's lost value. And it's really seems like poor football to me. On a different team, and I know this is going to be a wild call, but he could be a really good wing back, because why not? I mean, he's honestly not that much different. He'd be better going, obviously, ahead attacking than, I think, Reguilon. Maybe defensively not as good, but could he make up on the attacking? And if you had a good three-back, I don't know. Just an interesting idea. He's just one of those guys you could just try out. I mean, at the professional level, the flow between defense and offense, sometimes I think we think is really big. But, like, Gerard Piqué started out as a forward. And then they were like, you're massive, and we have all these little tiki-taka guys. Get in the back, and it worked out. So it's like, you know, I don't know. We'll see.
There are so many teams that need Lingard in his like actual preferred role, though.
For sure. Oh, for sure.
That's like
for sure. But I'm just saying, if I go into United tomorrow, I go to three back. Harry Maguire cannot be left to his own defenses.
Oh, Harry Maguire has been very bad.
Luke Shaw is good, but like I would just change everything. And the easiest thing to do is just go to a three back, lock down the D, and then you work forward. Because De Gea is not that bad of a goalie. At the end of the day, he actually kept them. In the game, if it wasn't for
kept
that,
our game down.
Yeah, he kept the Clásico down. And if it wasn't for him against Watford, it would have been like 8-1. That's not hyperbole.
Yeah, easily.
That's not hyperbole. It got out of control. Did you see any of that game?
I saw some of the game.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh my god. I mean, they're not.
It was. I mean, I texted my United buddy and I was like, "De Gea, or you're done." And he was like, "Oh my gosh, if it wasn't for him, like this would be a blowout." And then, well, 4-1 later.
I think a lot of like real United fans, especially got people who've been around for a while, realized that Ole like had to go. And I that was like the general feeling since last season. I think we were like, this guy's like a disaster.
To be fair, after they lost the Europa, he should have been fired.
Yes, absolutely.
That team on paper should beat the other team, period.
Yeah, Villarreal for sure.
Period.
He got outcoached.
He got outcoached.
By Unai Emery.
By Unai Emery, Mr. Unai himself.
Yeah, he got outcoached that game.
Well, let's look ahead at this week, unless you have something to say, Kate.
Oh, I was just going to say, and they got second last year. So it wasn't like terrible on paper, but just like that team just, no.
You're right. They got second last year. Did they get second?
Yeah.
Did they get second? Yeah.
Oh my God, they did.
Yeah, because Liverpool barely made it in.
Yeah, because Chelsea was third.
And Chelsea got third.
That's actually insane.
Yeah. It was a crazy 2-3-4
because
finish.
At the beginning of last season,
Leicester
just decided to nosedive. Yeah.
Well, at least Leicester isn't going to fool their fans this year and be fourth all season and then end up fifth for the third season in a row. They're just probably not even going to make Europa football.
I don't think so either. I think West Ham's going to stay up. I think Arsenal's going to stay top 5-6. I don't think Leicester's got it in them to stay up.
Well, actually, before we do the look ahead at week 13, what's your top four? And I know your City, so be biased as you may.
Yeah, so City's top, then I got Chelsea, then reluctantly Liverpool, and then I've got either West Ham or Arsenal.
That makes sense. I mean,
yeah,
I think United can be there if they get a different coach and kind of do what Chelsea did last year, which is have a huge turnaround of everything because they have on paper. That is a very good team.
Yeah, but they've got a couple. Their upcoming next like four games are tough. So if they're like trying to do a big turn, they've got to get through this. They got to get through the new year.
Yeah, everyone's
without dropping too
games
much.
Who are in Europe in a European competition over the next 6 weeks. I mean, the next between now and mid-January is where you're gonna test teams, because that whole Christmas period is so ridiculous, where there's like 6 games in 20 days or something like that. So
I hate that week.
It's a lot, and it's
so stressful.
And it's actually the last time we're going to have that, because next year we're not going to have that. Next year, mm-hmm. actually today marks 365 days till the World Cup in Qatar. Fun fact.
Mm.
Fun fact.
I saw the World Cup trophy at the Grand Prix today.
Oh, did you?
If you guys are Formula One fans.
Jeff is a huge Formula One fan.
Yeah. Nice.
Mm. Hmm. Very big fandom, I see.
Yeah, I'm not a big Hamilton fan, that's for sure.
Why not?
Okay, I was just going to ask. So we're Team Lewis Hamilton, right?
No, I'm not a Mercedes guy. I like the Ferrari team. I like them. I like those guys.
Is that because you have an Italian coach now?
Yes, it's only recent.
That's exactly okay. Those are the types of things I do too, where I'm like, it's 3 degrees away from Pep, so therefore I also love it. Yeah.
No, I watched that F1 documentary on series on Netflix,
and it's
pretty good, so I'm into some of that. But Hamilton's, it's just boring that Hamilton wins all the time. It's just boring. God doesn't need to be
but did you watch you watched Mexico last week? Not to derail.
He won, right? Did he win?
He did, but it was maybe like the best between him and Max of the season.
The Rebel team's cool. Max Verstappen's cool. He's really young. But I just like, I don't know why Hamilton even wants to race anymore. He doesn't need to. He's like, he's done it all. Like, what's the point? If he's jollies, I guess.
That's
funny. I mean, Messi and Ronaldo are still playing.
That's true. That's fair.
Yeah. All right. No more Formula. Yeah.
We can cut that out.
Yeah, we'll cut out. Anyway, let's look at week 13. So,
lucky week 13.
Yeah, right. So, Kate, what we're going to do is I'll give you and Jeff a game, and we'll probably alternate, and you just tell us a score prediction. So, the first game is between Arsenal and Newcastle, and it's at the Emirates. This should be fairly straightforward.
Arsenal's going to win. They're bouncing off this. I did not watch the game over the weekend, but it sounds like the score was not as did not really reflect the gameplay. So I'm going to say they're going to feel a little discouraged about the scoreline, which means they're going to come out. I'm going to go 3-1 Arsenal.
Sounds about right. Their loss to Liverpool, we actually predicted perfectly. He said 4-0, which is great. And I actually think it could have been more. The problem is Liverpool is just really good. And Arsenal's just,
They beat the teams they should beat.
So they should beat this team. Do you think 3-1's fair? I think 3-1 sounds right.
Sounds about right.
Jeff, Norwich City Wolves. Norwich is on a streak, Jeff. You got to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
They're coming for top four.
I'm hoping for a tie because I just want maximum points dropped. But Wolves are sitting in like fifth right now. Fifth or sixth.
Yep.
I hope they actually lose. I hope Norwich...
I'd love to see Norwich win.
Yeah. But I'm going to go with a draw. 1-1.
It's at Carroll Road. 1-1 sounds right. The next game is Crystal Palace, Aston Villa. So an old Vieira-Gerrard battle. This game is going to be played at Selhurst. So AFC Richmond home. Who do you got?
Crystal Palace is coming off a tie. Gerrard's off a win. I'm going with a tie. Just another one. I'm going to go 2-2.
That'd be a good game. It'd be a really good game, and I think it's potentially likely.
I think there's gonna be a late tie, like 87th minute type second goal.
For who?
Crystal Palace.
Yeah, Crystal Palace comes from behind.
Little heartbreaker. Yeah.
Crystal Palace is annoying to play.
Yeah, they score goals. It's annoying.
Yeah.
Yes, they score goals.
No, but like they scored 3 goals like last past weekend.
They beat us. So.
Oh, they beat both you guys. That's cute.
Next
game, Liverpool-Southampton. This game will be played at none other than Anfield. This seems to be easy.
Yeah, I like Liverpool's chances in this one. I'm hoping Jota and Salah get in the scoreboard, maybe have some assists because they're both on my fantasy. But going to go 3-0 on this one.
It's easy money. Next game, Brighton Hove Leeds.
Ooh.
Is that Amex?
I love Brighton. They're like my backup mid-table team since they got promoted. So I like them a lot. I'm going to go with, I feel like they've just kind of been a little slow or on the end of some bad luck. So I'm going to say they're going to win. but it's going to be like 1-0.
Hmm. That sounds good.
Leeds needs to start winning games, man.
Yeah.
I don't want to see them get dropped. They just need what's his name back?
Bamford.
They need Bamford back.
Big money Bamford.
I mean, they need Rafinha and Bamford, and they got a shot. But I don't think I think Bamford's actually really hurt. But if with Rafinha, you know, unfortunately, I think it's going to be a draw. 1-1.
Next game is Brentford-Everton. Brentford are at home. Brentford are currently sitting in 14th, and Everton are in 11th, and they're only separated by 2 points. What do you think, Jeff? This is a tough one. This is actually going to be a potential for the game of the week.
Everton just aren't that good. Their back line's very poor. I think
was that English?
That's not English, but Brentford will win this game. Also have Ivan Toney on my fantasy, so I'm hoping for him to knock on this.
You're like Republicans going against climate change. It's not going to happen.
Next. I still think they could win this game.
Yeah, it's in the realm of possibilities, Jeff.
Okay. Everton's not good. So.
Jeff, I'm going to give you the next one because it's your boys. Burnley versus Tottenham. You're coming off a big win.
They beat him in the Carabao Cup.
It's at Turf Moor. Come on down. What do you think?
I think we'll have Winks back off of a... No, Winks. We'll have Winks back. We'll have Winks again.
Jeff about Tottenham, you never just get...
I don't just get... You just get an answer.
He has to give like a 5-minute soliloquy, and then I push him, and then he says, Spurs will lose.
No. I don't think Spurs will lose this game.
Okay, what's going
to
happen?
They're going to have Skip back. That's what I meant to say.
Okay,
and no Winks. Although he did play a full 90 today, which was funny.
I think Winks is great.
You love Winks. He didn't make any real two bad mistakes today.
No, he didn't score an own goal today.
He didn't. He didn't move the ball forward a lot. He does a lot of side-to-side backwards passing.
He's very conservative.
He's very... yeah. So I think it's going to be just one of those annoying games, 1-0 kind of win.
That's nice, though.
Yeah.
Next game.
Away, it's fine.
Is going to be Leicester-Watford. So this is a weird game because it's at King Power, but Leicester's been so abysmal. But
they're so bad right
Watford's
now.
Watford's also sitting lower than they are. So what are you doing with this one?
I mean, Watford, they're going to be exhausted from their win, or they're going to feel empowered.
You mean from the partying after the win?
From the partying after, yeah.
Exactly. All right. So what do you think?
It's like I want Leicester to do well because I've been contemplating selling Jamie Vardy for like 3 weeks.
Oh, you got to sell him. He's dead weight on your fantasy.
I know. So I'm gonna do one more push, but I'm gonna say Leicester 2-1. Jamie Vardy with 2 goals, just for points at this point.
Yeah, just do it for the fantasy. The next game we're also gonna give to you potential game of the week: the Citizens versus the Hammers. This game is going to be played at the Empty Hot, at the Etihad. What do you think the score is gonna be?
Okay, so, I mean, we typically beat West Ham, but they did take us to 0-0 in the Carabao Cup and then beat us on penalties, so it was a tie. We're going to win, obviously. I'm going to go clean sheet 4-0.
Four?
That would be freaking impressive.
I would love that, because I love to see West Ham get smacked down.
I would love that, because West Ham needs to be kind of put in their place.
That's exactly what we're gonna do. As much as I want them to hover around 4 or 5 to keep it fun and interesting, I need to knock them down this time, and we need to make a point to say, how dare you take our Carabao Cup.
That's true, it is your Carabao
Cup.
It is City's Cup.
I like a clean sheet for Ederson. So
he sounds like he's on your fantasy.
I don't have Ederson on my fantasy.
He's on your fantasy, Mendy.
But I have him in my fantasy.
He's on your fantasy, Mendy.
For goalkeeper, yeah. I've got Sanchez, but he's out with the red, so I got Emmy.
Oh, that's nice.
That's good.
The last game is going to be another potential game of the week, or not, is going to be Man United versus Chelsea, but we can all give a prediction on this one. Jeff, what do you got? To let you know, it is going to be played at the Bridge of Stamford.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What time?
Pulisic.
What time are you guys at?
This is going to be at 11:30 a.m. on Sunday Eastern time or 8:30 a.m. Pacific time.
I hope Christian starts. That'd be great. I'd love to see it.
He may start.
He is a super sub. He's a super sub.
For club and country.
Yeah.
But, Chelsea doesn't give up goals.
That's right. They don't.
But Ronaldo, it does seem to like to pull him out of his ass.
He does.
Yeah. So I'm going to give United a win, one goal, but Chelsea is going to score
3-1. Kate, what do you think?
I was heading the same direction. I think United might get the first goal, and then I think Chelsea's just going to come back and win. So I'll also go 3-1.
I like 3-1 only if Lukaku doesn't play. If he plays, he kills our flow going
His
forward.
His ankle's busted, isn't it? Are you coming back?
I don't know. I don't know. He's like a big game. We got to beat United. They may try to like get him back. He just kills me going forward because we have just this whole flow of like all these 5'8 dudes who just run around really fast and like chop ankles. And then he comes in and he's just a tree in the
middle. He's just trying to hold up all the play.
Just hold up vibes and like mounts 10 yards offside. So I think we're going to beat United. If we have Lukaku, less exciting. But I just love, you know, Pulisic, Havertz, Mount starting up top. 3-5-2, Chilwell.
No Werner.
James.
Werner stays
Conte,
way
Jorginho.
Off the bench.
Just, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. Sorry, Michael Carrick. Have a good first game.
Yeah, maybe De Gea will play well.
It's going to need to. It's going to be rough. I mean, Chelsea's been looking very good. Very good.
Yeah, good defense.
Do you guys have a midweek game, or are you guys the following week?
Let me look at the old schedule. We have, loading. Yeah, you guys play. You want to talk about your midweek? We play Juventus, actually, which they beat us. We need to beat Juventus if we want to be top of the group. If Juventus beat us, they're going to be top of the group. Other things remaining equal will probably also qualify, even with a loss. But we need to beat Juventus because I don't think they're that good. But we are going to be playing that at home, which is nice. And last time we had to go to Turin to do that. I think we can probably win on the weekend. And probably win that midweek game. But
with Ross Barkley playing?
Good question. Will he be on the bench? Probably.
I mean, you got to do some rotation. I mean, there's going to be some rotation for those games.
Yeah. Ross Barkley could play that game, I guess.
I mean
Ross Barkley
something.
Will come in at halftime if we're destroying United. And there's like Ronaldo tears everywhere. Man City, PSG, what's going to happen there? Because you guys
lost
the
first round, right? You guys lost to PSG.
Yeah, you lost that 2-0. That was that was a tough game for you guys.
Yeah, it was like a last, like, end of game goal or something that was kind of depressing. But I think we only need one more point just to make it into knockout. So I'm not too worried about what happens with this game. I mean, Kevin's still out for the unforeseeable future, which is a bummer because he was playing so well for Belgium. That always seems to happen. Like, he starts to get back into a groove and then something like takes him out for a little bit. So I'm bummed about Kevin being out. It was nice to see Raz on the right. So maybe we'll see him again for this midweek while Grealish, if he's still injured. So that could be nice. And I kind of liked how we set up today. Bernardo and Gundogan are so creative in the midfield. And then we just have Joao and Foden and Rodri playing so well right now in our back line. I don't even have to worry about them anymore. So it'll be interesting. Did Ramos play today or no?
You're asking.
Is this
gonna
be the first?
PSG? I don't think he played today, but I'm actually not sure.
Yeah, I know he was practicing, but I don't know.
I wonder if Wednesday is gonna be the first Ramos Messi on the field together, because that might be,
you know, Ramos was purchased partly, I think, to win the Champions League, because clearly they don't care about the French League and they need a guy who's won the Champions League. They're just trying to get as many players on that team that have actually lifted the thing so they can get close.
Yeah. So, and we're playing at home. I mean, I don't know. We played so well today. I think it's going to be a good game. We're not going to look ahead to the week. So I think Pep's probably going to field our best. And 2-1 City.
Over PSG?
Yeah.
You guys are in 9 points and they're on 8 points with 2 games left. So if you win, you're clear through. If you lose, you have to play the last week, seriously, because you don't want to come in second. So I'm hoping you guys also win because it's good to see English teams go in first. Mm-hmm. However, what it's going to do is put PSG in a Messi, Neymar, Mbappe, Di Maria, Ramos, Donnarumma, ridiculous team in second. And Chelsea then could potentially have to face them in the second round.
Oof.
You know, it's like fairly likely because you can't play a team from your own country. Nay, it's not that big of a deal for a French team because I think only like one or two will go through. But the chances then of playing Chelsea are like they get increase greatly. So,
or you have to play Ajax.
I would rather have actually from a Chelsea standpoint, I'd rather have PSG finish first, City second, because then we know we can't play City because they're from the same country, and at least in the first round of 16. So it's going to be interesting what happens there because Manchester United, I think, unless I'm wrong, and I need to look at the table here, Manchester United have found themselves in a situation where they have two games left and all four teams could still qualify. That's how tight that group is.
Who else is in their group?
So United and Villarreal are tied on 7 points. Atalanta's with five, and BSC Young Boys, who beat them, have their one game, their one win over United with 3 points. But if any of those teams were to win out, they could go through, which is kind of insane. So
yeah, that's going to be fun.
Yeah, United could win the group. If United win, they will go through either first or second. If they lose, however, though, there's a chance they could actually end up in Europa. So we'll see. Going to be a good one because they play Villarreal, the two leaders of the group. So that's probably going to be actually one of the games of the week, I think, in the Champions League, that and City PSG.
I think United have – the injuries are racking up. And their defense – and Harry Maguire has not been playing good. They're just not going to go. I think they're going to go down to Europa. That's my feeling.
I just hope that they play Lingard and they free Donny and they free Jesse. They got to do it.
Free him.
Free him. Send him. Let's look at fantasy really quick.
We didn't talk about Europa Conference League. Excuse me?
Yeah, we're going to look at fantasy real quick. See how we're doing with that. Jeff, are you winning fantasy yet?
No.
I don't think
I'm in like fifth or something.
Oh, awesome. I dropped down to 12. My life's a world.
12th?
So useless.
Out of how many?
18.
I'm in one with 20 people and I'm ninth in that one. So I'm like, okay, that's okay. And then the other one, it's like you go head to head and then if you win, then you get a point. And so I'm hovering very low in that one.
Well, that's awesome. I made two subs this week. Jeff is in fourth. He is killing it. Jamie Becker's still in first. Iheanacho's con queso with Mac in second. El Diez de Julio, Mace's in third. And Eric Chajon with Guns and Moses is still last place.
Guess what? I made a big substitution this week. I started Reguilon.
Is that what did it for you?
Oh, dude, yes. He scored a goal. He scored the game-winning goal.
Dude, that's right. Dude, you had Mings on 15?
Nice. Yeah, Mings. He's going to start next week.
I have Mings. James, I sold Diaz for Cancelo. Yeah. That was so my back line
smart move.
Got me the most points out of like my midfield got me four because they all played.
I gotta change.
Oh wait, no, right. I captain Salah.
Oh, I did change Milano. Yeah, I like your team. I like the switch for Cancelo to Diaz is great because Cancelo is gonna be so much more likely to get assists and goals than Diaz.
That's exactly.
So,
and I also have Foden, which. Like great player on the field, but he's not a very good fantasy player. He's kind of like Conte a little bit.
Exactly. Took the words out of my mouth.
Yeah, so I think I'm gonna swap him for, I don't know yet, maybe Bernardo Silva.
Let me tell you who Bernardo Silva is probably great
because I have to have three City players on my team. It's just like anything else is.
That's how I actually wanted to run the fantasy this year. I wanted to say whatever your team is, you have to have. The max players, so you have to pay your penance. If you're going to be great, it's going to be good. If it's going to be bad, it's going to be sucky, but you got to stay with your team.
Yeah, and my name, like my fantasy name is Kevin De Bruyne, and so I have to have Kevin on my team, so I won't get rid of him. Just out of, you know,
I picked up
solidarity.
Chilwell and Connor Gallagher this week because I thought that was good because Gallagher's been scoring a lot of points and Chilweezy is just ridiculous out of the back. And other than that for Chelsea, I only have Mendy because Mendy's been the best goalie so far. So,
yeah.
Well,
how many clean sheets do you guys have?
In total, I think he has like 8 or 9 out of the 12 games. I mean, it's ridiculous. We've only been scored on like once or twice. City was like one of the only times. So, That's not true. Yeah. We get scored on, but like, I think we have 8 or 9.
I think we have 6 and you guys have 4.
Clean sheets?
Goals against.
Yes, it is 6 and 4. It is 6 and 4, so. But I think that that's all that's fit to print. Jeff, do you have any other jokes, gossip, chisme? That's Spanish for gossip for those out there.
I just want to let everybody know that it's really hard for me to do the podcast when Spurs lose, but when Spurs win, it's good. It's good.
You look happy.
I'm happy to be here.
You're gonna sleep well tonight.
I know this is a good winners week.
It's a good winners week. We're in the winners circle right now.
We are. It feels really good.
It feels really good.
We all made podium.
We did. Wait, if we made podium, who's first, second, third?
I guess you can take first. I'll take second.
Damn it.
You guys can do third.
There we go, Kate. There we go.
You suck.
Well, thank you for hopping on the pod.
Of course.
Jeff, anything?
Bring me back whenever.
Oh, we will. We will. We should bring you back probably in the spring when Chelsea and City play against, because that will actually, I haven't even looked that date up, but if Chelsea City and play anytime after like March, it's going to be actually like a very important game because those points could be like title points.
Oh yeah. So. I think there's going to be a really great back half of the season.
2 horse race, perhaps.
You think 2?
You think 2?
3.
Who's the third?
I think Liverpool. It's 3.
Oh, Liverpool.
I think it's 3.
Forgot about Liverpool. I keep sleeping on Mane.
Don't sleep on Mane.
Don't sleep on Mane, dude.
They will be up there.
They're so annoying.
They're so annoying.
They're so annoying.
They're so annoying.
But I loved it when they beat down Arsenal.
They did beat down Arsenal.
We were celebrating Liverpool beating down Arsenal.
Yeah, a lot of fist pumps.
A lot of fist pumps, a lot of high fives.
Chest bumps.
Chest bumps. Jared was just like praying for it to go to 4 goals so he could be right about his prediction.
And it did.
And it did. And
I should have put money on that. That's so stupid.
So stupid.
Just put 1 Bitcoin on it.
The problem is in Massachusetts, we can't really bet on games.
So we just talk shit and don't do anything.
Yeah.
We stay poor.
Yeah. Other states, you can just FanDuel it up.
Yeah. Maybe we should move.
Yeah. There we go.
All right, Florida.
Okay.
All right. Hey, thank you for hopping on the pod. We will talk to you soon.
Of course. Have a good one, guys.
Ciao.
Ciao. Thanks for listening to the Boys and Bolos podcast. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Patreon, Twitch, at Boys and Bolos.
If you'd like to be a guest, please reach out. You can hit us on any of the social media accounts that Jeff just mentioned, or email us directly at boysandbolos@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening, and see you next time.